This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com.
You know, it'll be a fun ride. When we know, we know.
When we know, we'll know. You can't do any better than that. Can't do any better than that.
Nope, can't get much better than that.
It's the Adam Gold Show.
That's all, folks.
I am Adam Gold. That is Dennis Cox doing his imitation of Matt Rhule, which is fairly good.
Thank you.
Julian Council, Locked On Panthers podcast, will join us in about 15 minutes to talk about the Panthers then. Although, they were an option in Listener's Choice, which we do at 1 o'clock just about every day. So, let's see where we had. What you put a poll out.
I did.
Oh, we got a little music behind us. Very nice. And here was the poll at the Fan Rookie. What should we talk about at 1 o'clock? Write-in votes always welcome. The write-in votes are always a little bit goofy.
It's funny. There's always someone who's like, talk sports. Like, well, I just give you four options. Yeah.
Talk Ultimate Disc League.
Yeah.
I watched a little of that.
That does not surprise
very
me.
Very late at night the other night.
Can you bet on it?
I didn't bet on it. I'm sure you can.
Not in this state.
No, not in this state. It's always fun. Right?
Ultimate's a fun game.
Ultimate, yeah. I got no problem with Ultimate. Plus, they don't call it Frisbee football.
I know. It's Ultimate.
It's Ultimate.
Yes.
Good name for it.
Yeah.
As opposed to disc golf, which it ain't golf.
No.
Like, my older son wants to play foot golf. Like, that's also not golf. I'm not knocking the activity. Just call it something else. Like, they don't call pickleball tiny tennis.
Hmm.
Right? They don't.
Mini tennis.
They don't call it that. They call it pickleball. They came up with a name for it. That's all I'm asking. Come up with a different name for it. All right, so here are the options. Sorry. Personal tangent there. First question, first option was Kyler Murray. 21%. Kane's offseason. 50%. I guess we have to start there. Carolina Panthers, 25%. Kevin Durant? Really? Okay, whatever. Kevin Durant, 4%.
One person voted for Kevin Durant.
Yeah. So, all right, real quick about Kane's offseason. Signed Ryan Dezingle to a two-way contract yesterday. Ryan Dezingle, who was with the Hurricanes second year they made the playoffs. So it was after they signed him as a free agent in the offseason after making the playoffs for the first time in a decade. It didn't go well. It wasn't working out. And then the year before the bubble, I guess they, it was last year, early in the season, they traded him to Ottawa for Cedric Paquette, former Tampa Bay Lightning. So, and Cedric Paquette was good, but again, that didn't really work out either. But Ryan Dezingle is back, two-way contract, probably going to spend the entire year or most of the year in Chicago.
Yeah.
And would be an emergency call-up with NHL experience, and those are valuable pieces to have.
So he's Greg McKegg.
No, actually, I wish he played like McKegg. If he played like McKegg, he would have a chance to make the team.
Yeah.
But he doesn't play like McKegg, so to me, he's going to have to rehabilitate his career in the minor leagues, but you know what? There are worse places to rehabilitate your career than making $200,000 in Chicago. It's fair, right? Fair point. Other than that, Hurricanes really haven't done all that much lately. I think the East has gotten stronger. The Hurricanes certainly have a very good team, and they are a playoff team. But I don't think I would look at them like we looked at them a year ago and think, they could really win that division. The Metro, she is stacked. Stacked. The Rangers will be better. The Devils got better. Mm-hmm. I don't think the Flyers really got better. No offense to our friend Tony D'Angelo, but the Flyers are a mess, an absolute mess. So you should hear how they're talking about the Flyers in Philadelphia. All right, Look, I want to talk more about Kyler Murray. Can we do that? Can we talk a little bit about Kyler Murray?
It's your show, yeah.
So, it's embarrassing that the Arizona Cardinals put a clause in that we want Kyler Murray to do your homework. It's embarrassing. It's an awful, awful thing. I started to get to this and we ran out of time in the segment in the beginning of the show. If you're the Arizona Cardinals, that is a conversation you have to have, but it's a conversation that you have to have privately. You said the quiet stuff out loud and you put it in writing. Like, if you felt like he wasn't going to work hard enough to justify the contract, then you shouldn't have offered him the contract. But you put a clause in his deal. That's it. You have to do 4 hours of homework a week. Like, are you joking? Do you know how much the great quarterbacks work after work?
A lot.
Like, I just don't even get what they're doing. Dan Graziano of ESPN basically criticized Arizona in two different ways. Here's for the reward.
This is in a contract that's going to pay him over $46 million a year, one of the highest contracts in the history of the league. So you're not only saying this, obviously nobody's perfect, right? We're not going to say it, but you're saying this is a player that we don't feel works hard enough. Yet,
we've rewarded
him with this contract because it would be even worse for us to have to go find a new quarterback.
Yes, but I am 100% in the camp that, like, I've never bought into who's your alternative. I've never bought into that. Because if you spend bad money, you're better off with the who's your alternative than spending bad money. Because if you don't believe that this guy is going to be, like, you drafted him first overall. You got rid of a top 10 pick at quarterback after 1 year. Mm-hmm. Now, Josh Rosen hasn't hit anywhere, so he probably should have been moved on from, although you spent the 10th pick of the draft and gave him 1 year. But you had made the decision. You drafted this guy number one overall, and now you're not sure to the point that you have to put this clause in?
Yeah.
But what does it mean for future contracts? And that's where Dan Graziano went next.
My first reaction was, this is a terrible precedent to set for future contracts. And we've talked about how, like, quarterbacks, you know, could insist on more guarantees than they do and help out, you know, the larger body of players going forward, and they rarely do it. But this is another step. Like, this is going to let teams put anything they want in a contract, right? Like, you're going to be able to say, well, this guy was the number one pick, and he agreed to this homework clause. Like, why shouldn't you?
Yeah. you know what else is in the clause, in the contract? He is not allowed to do any official baseball activity. You know how Russell Wilson will go? I mean, it's just a ceremony, right? Now he's technically he's part of the Yankee organization. Russell Wilson in the offseason has been going to, you know, spring training when he was with the Rangers. Because I think the White Sox got rid of him. He ends up with his rights with the Rangers. So he would show up. He'd spend a day at training camp, at spring training with the Rangers. Maybe he'll get into a spring training game, and that's it. It was just fun.
Yeah,
it's
like
good publicity. It's good publicity for the Rangers.
Take and some that, grounders.
He did it with the Yankees. I actually think he played an inning of a game with the Yankees. Murray's contract is void if he does that.
I mean, that makes – I get that. I get it.
He just shows up at spring training?
Well, he said baseball activities. If he shows up but doesn't do anything –
No, but you can't do that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's different then.
Right? So he can't go to Oakland A's, who drafted him. Mm-hmm. Can't go to Oakland A's training camp and take BP in any official capacity. Hysterical to me. Hysterical to me.
I got a question for you. I'll play the devil advocate.
All right.
Do you think this is – micromanaging someone in a workplace?
Of course it's micromanaging. Yes. It would be worse if there was a surveillance component to this.
Yeah.
There isn't. It's the honor system. Mm-hmm. Right? Okay. We're trusting you. But you know how we're going to find out? On the field. And everybody, they'll know. We won't. You know, dopes like us watching games.
Yeah.
We're not going to know. But the coaches will know. Mm-hmm. The coaches will know if we spend all week going through these types of things. This is what's going to happen. This is what this team does in this situation. When they show this, this is what they do. All these things, they're all tendencies. And you only have so much time to go over them during practice. This is why players watch so much film. That's why Ryan Clark was just like, I mean, bewildered that quarterbacks have to watch film. You know what it reminded me of? And we have to close on this. It reminded me of one of the most talented players to ever play quarterback in the NFL, eventually down the road admitting that he didn't watch film. Michael Vick.
Yeah.
Because Vick, later in his career, lamented the fact that he didn't study hard enough. He was simply getting by on his ability, which was extreme, and he was still incredibly effective. Michael Vick was a great player. If Vick had been a studier mm-hmm. in his prime and didn't go to jail for 2.5 years for dogfighting and related charges, who knows how good Vick could have been?
Yeah.
That's the scary part, is that he was that good and he wasn't doing the work. But that's what I thought. First thing I thought of was, man, Kyler Murray is like another, it's a Michael Vick situation. He's not doing the work. The Cardinals are afraid to move on, so they put a clause in his contract. That is the dumbest. The dumbest. Adam Gold in studio with my friend Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, how does longevity risk figure into our retirement and income plan?
This is the best of times and the worst of times, Adam. The longevity risk means we're going to live too long. But to me, every day I live is not too long.
Right, absolutely.
Good. So we want our money to outlive us. And unfortunately, many people I've seen, you out there listening, maybe one of them, your money is not designed to outlive you. You might outlive your money, and that's not what we want to have happen. Because when we get to that day after you run out of money, it's not going to be a fun time. So let's design a plan that guarantees you'll never run out of money. We call it the GPI plan, Growth Protection Lifetime Income. For the next 10 people, this is a golden ticket, Adam. $1,000 value, we're going to do it at no cost or obligation.
And all you have to do is call. We make it so easy. Would you like financial independence into your retirement and beyond it? 800-661-7383. That golden ticket is a $1,000 value, or you could text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter. It's report day for Carolina, and first day of workouts will be tomorrow. Here is the language from the Kyler Murray baseball clause in his contract. Remember, we already have a clause that demands that he does homework 4 hours a week. I think he also has to brush his teeth before he goes to bed. Otherwise, he gets no milk and cookies. Murray has to a default of his contract is enacted if he participates in any type of baseball related activity, including without limitation, a tryout, workout, practice, scrimmage, exhibition, or game for any baseball team in any baseball league. I think he can go back to Oklahoma and take batting practice with the Sooners, but that's basically what it boils down to. Wow. And last year, by the way, he admitted to not spending a lot of time watching film. The Arizona Cardinals were in a very bad spot. It's easy to say from sit here from where I am and say the Cardinals rolled over here. They should have just moved on. I have my doubts as to whether Kyler Murray is an elite NFL quarterback. He is an elite athlete. But who would you rather have, Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray? Give me Lamar Jackson 100 times in a row. Julian Council, Locked On Panthers podcast. You have reported to training camp, sir. How are you?
I'm great, Adam. How are you?
Doing very well. I've been like laughing at the Kyler Murray contract clause. Did you do all your homework?
Yes, I always did my homework. If I didn't, my parents would have whooped my ass.
Well, I don't think that's an option for Steve Keim with the Arizona Cardinals. I would have liked to have seen that in a clause in his contract.
Well, it's pretty sad that a professional like Kyler Murray has to be babied like this in order to do the extra things to make him better at his job. But it's also interesting that the Arizona Cardinals are even willing to give him this amount of money, considering this addendum that they have in this contract. And now we understand why they were so hesitant to give him the money in the first place. So not our problem. We're actually trying to find a quarterback here in Carolina. So Arizona, they at least have one as long as he does his homework every night.
I mean, 4 hours is the absolute minimum. I mean, it's nothing.
That's absolutely nothing. He should have already been like, what was he doing before? That's what I want to know. Like, was he literally not spending any time? And I know they have the Microsoft surfaces that each player has, so they can track your time up there. So he literally must have just been going home and spending absolutely no time. And then they were like, okay, Kyler, this is why we are terrible in the second half of the season and why your performances have been worse, not just your size and stature, but the fact that you literally don't study at all. That's an issue, dude. So it's insane to me. Like, that is even a thing when you think about, like, Brady and Manning and Rodgers, all these great quarterbacks. You spend so much time working on film and working out with their guys, and now Kyler Murray out here in the desert in Arizona needs to have a four-hour minimum study limit in order to get the money that he has definitely earned.
Yeah, look, he's earned it basically by being the first pick in the draft and not sucking.
Yeah,
right? That's what he's earned, because right now, to me, look, I don't want to make this about Kyler Murray. You and I were going to talk about the Panthers, but I just think that Murray is a spectacular athlete and a good quarterback. I don't know that Murray drags you to where you need to be. I think you get there, and Kyler Murray is a good part of that. But I think those two things are different. Let's get to the Panthers. As we get to training camp, and I know Baker rolled up with Shaq Thompson.
Ooh.
Oh, wait a second. Sam Darnold, I don't know, he took the bus. I'm not really sure. Matt Corral, I think, was helicoptered in. Are we to read anything that Baker was already chummy with one of the Panthers' veteran leaders?
Absolutely not.
I did have
someone tweet that at me earlier today, being like, look, this is Baker's team now. He's rolled up with Shaq. I think more so it's like, all right, do I really want to drive down? Like, you've been down at 85 South recently.
Yes.
It's a complete zoo once you get down to Gaffney and the Big Peach and the upstate. It's horrible. So as someone who just moved here, I bet Baker Mayfield wasn't really interested in having to drive to camp since he's never been there. And he figured, why not hit up Shaq and someone who has a truck and can take him down there. And by the way, Sam took his F-150 that he got back in 2020 down to Spartanburg by himself, if you're wondering what he arrived in. I don't look at it as a big deal at all. Sam Darnold, he called Baker. He was one of the first guys to reach out to him and invited him to the throwing session they had this past weekend. Everyone in his roster seems to have a pretty good rapport with each other, and Baker's only fitting in. So it's cool to see Shaq Thompson, who won't be available throughout training camp, bringing Baker down there, and that they're already making a connection for one of the defensive leaders, and hopefully someone will be one of the leaders on offense. But I'm not going to make more out of it than it really needs to be, other than like, hey, Baker got a carpool to training camp, which is probably the smartest way to go about it.
Julian Council, Locked On Panthers podcast, is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. It's very easy to spend all the time talking about Baker Mayfield versus Sam Darnold and Matt Corral. I think it was adorable that Corral said he was going to try to win the job by any means necessary. I hope there are no lead pipes anywhere around there. We don't want a Tonya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan situation. But there have to be other things that we should be focusing on, because obviously the quarterback position is going to get all the attention. But what are the next couple of things that you are going to be concerned with as we get into training camp?
I know most people are going to be concerned about the health of Christian McCaffrey. Someone asked him today, are you tired of getting all these questions? And he has to be tired of getting all the questions after missing 23 games over the last 2 years. That's not necessarily a concern of mine. I think Christian obviously is important to this offense. When I look at the injuries he's suffered the last couple of years, that's just really been hard luck more than, hey, this is Christian just being injury prone, because he didn't miss any time before the last 2 years. For me, I mean, I'm looking at seeing how the offensive line kind of figures out. I mean, we project them to be a lot better than they were the last couple of years. Taylor Moten should be back there at right tackle. Austin Corbett, who came over in free agency from the Rams after winning the Super Bowl, should likely be at right guard. But then you got to figure out the center position. Is it Pat Elflein, who was atrocious when he played left guard last year, but a little bit better at center versus Bradley Bozeman, who came over, started 16 games last year for the Ravens at the same position, that is trying to figure out the left side? Matt Rhule kind of alluded to a couple months ago during mandatory minicamp that they might end up starting Brady Christensen, the third-round pick last year that a lot of fans were clamoring to see at left tackle last year, that he might get the chance to start there at left tackle over Ike Ekwonu to start off the season, and then we'll see how things pan out there. So I'm interested to see how that works. Robbie Anderson, he's had an interesting offseason. There was, of course, the social media thing about Baker Mayfield, which turned out to be nothing, but he did leave it up to interpretation for a lot of folks to think that he was throwing some shade over Baker's way. Then there was the talk of, I might retire. And it's been a weird offseason for Robbie. I want to see if he's able to bounce back. And if he doesn't, guys like Terrace Marshall Jr., Rashard Higgins, who played with Baker Mayfield in Cleveland, those are some players I want to see if they can bounce back. The linebacker position the last couple of years has been lacking since Luke Kuechly retired. And now with Shaq Thompson not available, can guys like Damian Wilson, who came over from free agency from Jacksonville, and Corey Littleton, who's been a Pro Bowler with the Rams, who was really bad the last 2 years with the Raiders, can they step in, improve to help out at that position? Brandon Smith, the fourth-round pick out of Penn State as well. So there's plenty of things I'm looking out outside of just, is McCaffrey going to be healthy and what's going to happen at quarterback? Because this team still has plenty of questions to answer, even though I think that they're much improved as far as when you look at the roster. We'll find out just how good of a team they are, of course, over the next couple of weeks and months.
I don't know if it's great minds think alike, but when I was listing the things that I am considered that I am watching for, even more than, because frankly, I don't think it's that big a difference between Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold. I think if Darnold played well, the Panthers could be, an 8-win team. And if Baker plays well, maybe they can be a 9-win team. I think there's a little bit of a higher ceiling for Baker than there is for Sam. But sure, None of this matters if the offensive line ain't good. So, to me, that's the thing I will be looking at more than anything else. Hopefully they stay healthy. Whether F-line plays, or I hope it's Bozeman, because you went out and you spent some money on him. And I hope Ekwonu can play left tackle, because I actually think it would be really good and potentially the future to see Christensen play left guard. Because if you end up with that as your offensive line, Bozeman in the middle, Ekwonu and Christensen on the left, and then you've got the other components on the right, you got a pretty good offensive line.
Yeah, no, and that's exactly how I've been looking at it, Adam. Regardless of how they start off the season, you're going to have Ike Ekwonu at some point be the future at left tackle. And the fact that you have Brady Christensen, who can move around and could start at left, or he could push back inside at left guard, and then you can you have options. You have guys who have played in this league and started games at the center position and even at left guard. Like Bozeman, if he somehow loses out at center, he can still potentially start at left guard. They can start out the season with Christensen, and if maybe Christensen gets pushed to the bench, Ricky, you have that depth where you trust in that sixth guy. And now with Cam Irving, who hasn't been great, former first-round pick, he started at left tackle last year. Him and Elflein and other younger players like Deontay Brown and Cade Mays, the fifth-rounder out of Tennessee, you have a pretty solid depth there in Carolina, which they didn't have last season. Now, I'll continue to tell people, like last year, 13 out of 17 starting offensive line combinations. No team in the NFL is going to have success if that is the issue with the offensive line. They have that many injuries. And if Carolina has injuries, Taylor Moten and, say, the Bradley Bozeman and into Ikem Ekwonu or Brady Christensen and are back out there having to start Cam Irving and Pat Elflein and whoever else they might have fit in there at right guard, they're likely not going to have success. Continuity, the communication is so important on the offensive line. So staying healthy, but having some quality depth, which I think they do have, is certainly a positive and should give whoever plays under center this year a chance to actually go out there and be able to move this offense down the field consistently.
One more thing for Julian Council, Locked On Panthers podcast. You mentioned wide receivers, so I'm going to skip over that because I think you're right. Whether it's Robbie Anderson or Terrace Marshall or whoever else, somebody has to be able to get out there with DJ Moore and impact the game. But you mentioned linebacker, but what about defensive tackle? Building, because they did, you know, they made some additions to that position during the offseason, and you have recent draft picks. Who are the guys you are looking at in the middle of that defensive line?
Well, the third year is kind of the year where you really need to see a player step up and make a major impact. Derrick Brown has been a key starter there the last 2 years in Carolina after being drafted seventh overall back in 2020, Matt Rhule's first draft on the job. And he really has been pretty underwhelming for a player that was absolutely dominant, especially the last 2 years at Auburn in the SEC, which is proclaimed to be the best college football conference and the one that prepares you for the NFL better than any. He has not come out and played to that kind of level and that standard that you would have had hoped. And the Panthers chose to get him there because they had the option to get Isaiah Simmons out of Clemson. That's somewhat worked out as Jeremy Chinn has kind of filled the same role that Simmons would have had he come here to Carolina. So that's not necessarily that much of an argument anymore. But Brown last year, late on in the season, he was benched. And maybe it would have helped him had K.K. Short been healthy his rookie year and he's not playing next to Zach Kerr. And then last year, playing next to Daquan Jones helped out. He got a pretty good payday for a player of his caliber up in Buffalo this past offseason. But he needs to step up this year. Matt Ioannidis, who admitted a couple weeks ago back during mandatory minicamp that he was out of shape last year in Washington with, I guess, then the football team, now the Commanders, and he's also been a Redskin. He's someone who's brought in that interior pass rush at the defensive tackle spot. We're 7.5 and 8.5 sacks per game, or 7.5 and 8.5 sacks back-to-back seasons a couple years ago in Washington, and he's a former Temple guy. Surprise, surprise. They brought in another guy that played for them back in college, but at least he's proven it in the NFL. You still have guys like Bravion Roy, a former Baylor guy who's been a solid run stopper. They drafted Phil Hoskins last year out of Kentucky. Maybe he'll be out there and have an opportunity. It's just, it'll be interesting to see because the run game has been terrible as far as the defense trying to stop the run. I mainly attribute that to the linebacker play, but also guys on the inside have not been good enough, and that needs to improve. So, yeah, defensive tackle is certainly one of those position groups to look at as far as going into the season. That's, again, why I go back to people always focus on the quarterback. This team is not a quarterback away from, like, competing and winning a Super Bowl. There's still so many questions on a young roster that need to be answered before we can even sit here and talk about, all right, if we get that one piece, then things can change in Carolina. Yes, quarterback's important. But, yeah, guys like Derrick Brown, who fifth year option, they're going to have to make a decision this upcoming May. He's going to have to show that he's worth being around here in Carolina for the long haul, which is, I think, the expectation when they drafted him there a couple years ago.
This is why people should check out the Locked On Panthers podcast with Julian Council. This is why you should do it, because Julian drops all sorts of knowledge. I appreciate your time, my friend, at Julian Council on Twitter. Enjoy training camp. Stay out of the heat.
Oh, always. Stay at Spartanburg, just so hot all the time.
It's the
but
worst.
I feel like it's hot everywhere anyway, so I don't really understand why they get the bad rap. It's not cool in Raleigh, I'm sure, and it's definitely not cool in Charlotte.
No.
Damn sure ain't cool in Spartanburg.
It's hot everywhere. Julian, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
All right, Adam. Take care.
You got it. Julian Council, always fun. All right, we have hit the break. Orange wedges for all.
And now your halftime entertainment.
So as the jokes and memes and stuff were rolling in last night and this morning about Kyler Murray, as the news about his contract, someone actually posted on Twitter. I'm going to give them credit for this. It was Rose City Peach.
Hi, Rose City Peach. Well done.
Put out a chart, 2019, 2020, and 2021. Here are Kyler Murray's fantasy points for each game of his career. But they drew a line down the middle, or drew a line on the date of the season when the Call of Duty annual game was released.
When the new game dropped.
The new Call of Duty game was released. Again, this is fantasy points, a little bit different. But nevertheless, there's a decline.
Yeah. It, like,
every season, there's a decline.
I saw it. It's a gradual.
It's a very gradual decline.
It's not like he goes from, you know, a guy you have to have where, you know what, you could play him or you could play Marcus Mariota. Mm-hmm. It's the same. Like, but it is, it's a little, it's lower. It's definitely on a,
yeah.
And it's steady, too.
It's a steady
drop, although maybe he goes from, and I don't even know what fantasy would be a good fantasy week. He goes from like 35 points a game down to like 27 points a game. It's just this kind of steady, gradual drip, but it's very funny.
You know, it's interesting. There's actually, let's say in 2019, his total number of fantasy points right after the game was released was just 10. They actually, on the chart, they have this breakdown.
Week one.
It's just steadily declined.
Week one. That is fantastic.
So in 2020, the first half of the season, or up until the Call of Duty game came out, every game was about 22 points or higher. After Call of Duty came out, 2 games.
Hmm. Well,
that again, very proof. Steep decline.
Proof.
Yep. Gotta love it.
God, imagine using fantasy points.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Anyway, it's just something that somebody put out. Just the jokes and stuff were wonderful. Like, someone said, "Hey, did Kyler Murray make his bed this morning? If not, he's grounded."
Like I mentioned earlier, there's a clause he has to brush his teeth at night.
Yeah.
You got to brush your teeth before you go to bed.
I wonder if there are parental controls. Like on his, for example, did the Cardinals, do they take away his controller? All right, and when you've done your 4 hours, you can have your controller back. Because if I were him, I get it all done on Monday.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I do. Just knock it all out on Monday. Done.
And now I don't have to do any more homework. You know, it's funny. We tell my son, Jack, mm-hmm. we tell him that. Because he basically knows what homework he's got for the entire week on Monday. Like, kid, knock it all out. You don't have to worry about it. Then you can come home and you can watch YouTube.
Yeah. Just knock it all out.
Just knock it all out, man.
You know, one of the reasons why my senior year in high school, I took a study hall class because I'd taken an extra class my sophomore year just so I knew, and I would have a study hall class, so I would just do all my homework in study hall. And guess what? I went home after practice, had nothing to do, and it was wonderful. Anyway, didn't have to hide the controller from me.
Didn't. I don't even have a controller.
You should. Speaking of the world of gaming, EA Sports, or EA, Electronic Arts.
They just call it EA now?
It's just EA.
It's fine.
Is actually reportedly been in talks with Marvel Games
to create. I was wondering how long it would take us to get to something that sounded like Marvel.
What?
I mean,
this is a big deal.
The guy who sat in that chair before you.
Yeah.
I believe there was a Caddyshack reference every show.
Yeah, I know.
Every show.
Mm-hmm.
Your record is unmatched with any mention of Marvel or DC Comics.
Well, this is gaming
unmatched.
Related. This is gaming related.
It's fine. I'm not knocking. I'm just pointing it out.
EA makes Madden.
Right.
They also make other games. And they've been talking with Marvel Games about creating a Black Panther game.
Oh, very cool.
Which is very, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very excited about that. Apparently, they're also in talks to create some other products as well. Marvel does have a similar deal with Square Enix. With their Avengers game and their Guardians of the Galaxy game. By the way, Marvel's Avengers, that game is very, very fun.
Okay.
Just want to let you know that.
What happens in it?
A lot of stuff. I haven't finished
perfect.
It. I haven't finished it yet. So I can't.
You can finish a game?
Well, like, you can complete the storyline mode, but there are, like, other side missions and stuff. I haven't completed the storyline. But here's the thing. With that, these games now, with the way things are digitally, they continue to add storylines to it, which is really cool because you don't have to worry about buying a new game every single year. I'm waiting for EA to do something along these lines with these gaming companies with sports games like 2K for NBA. I think 2K also has the PGA, like golf games now. EA used to have it.
Is there a live golf game?
There will be. maybe. I don't know. They could buy one.
No, LIV Golf would pay you to play it.
I'm sure they would. If that's the case, I'd
would
play
pay
it.
You to play it.
I'm wondering when the time will come where EA with Madden, because it's so popular, is that you just make a purchase once and then you just have to pay like a certain amount each year, like a rolling fee to continue to play the game or at least get the upgrades, upgrading of rosters, game modes, those kinds of things, as opposed to buying the new game every year, because a lot of people just download it digitally now.
Right.
So I'm wondering, I mean, there is what's called like EA Pass.
I mean, you have also in-season updates, right?
Yeah, which are included when you purchase the game. But I know there's an EA subscription where you can play the game for a certain number of hours without having to purchase it as a way to like test it out if you're interested in the game. And then after a certain amount of time, those games do become available free. So again, I'm not sure how that's all going to work out. But anyway, I'm curious how gaming companies and these things are going to evolve over time. Did you know that Netflix?
So was I. What?
Do you know that Netflix actually has mobile gaming? So if you're a subscriber on Netflix and you use the app, they have games available for you to play.
Right? Are they good games?
I have
what
no idea.
What
I
do we have?
I haven't played them. I just know they have games available.
Donkey Kong? I mean, I don't know.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Frogger?
Galaga. Tony Dow, who played Wally Cleaver in Leave It to Beaver.
Oh, wow.
Passed away at 77.
No, what's a shame.
Passed away at age
77. That is a shame. Pour one out. Can you pour one out for Cleaver?
Yeah, absolutely.
You can pour one out for him?
I think our friends the OG still have a 40 available for you to do that.
Yeah, I think they polished it off on the way home.
I'm sure they did. So John Cena's coming to Fortnite.
Is he really?
Yep. John Cena, Fortnite developer, which is at Epic Games, which
absolutely
is located right here in the Triangle.
Cary, North Carolina.
Revealed that John Cena is officially coming to the popular free-to-play Battle Royale video game. The John Cena outfit will be available within the video game's item shop starting
this week. Did you call it an outfit?
This week. Yeah, it's
isn't
an outfit.
Isn't it called a skin?
Well, they call it, overall they're called skins, but the John Cena outfit.
Costume?
Yes. So it's like his entrance gear and his ring styles. That
very nice.
So yeah, he's coming to Fortnite.
Very nice.
And final thing, this kind of wraps up, actually, I meant to mention this with talking about Kyler Murray. Hard Knocks this year, HBO, the preseason, is going to be the Detroit Lions. Can't wait to hear Dan Campbell talk about biting off legs.
Oh, man. We're going to bite off your kneecap.
Exactly. So many sound bites we're going to get from Dan Campbell because of this.
I love Dan Campbell, by the way. I don't know if he can coach. I love his honesty.
Yeah, his energy and everything.
And I
love it.
He seems to be a genuinely good guy. Again, I don't know if he can coach.
The in-season Hard Knocks.
What?
Yeah, they started this last season.
Oh, didn't they?
There's an in-season Hard Knocks.
All right.
Arizona Cardinals.
Oh. Oh! Can we get a camera? I need a camera inside Kyler Murray's house. This needs to be an independent study cam.
Mm-hmm.
That would be fantastic.
That'd be great.
Wow. Oh, gosh. I might watch just to see how much Kyler Murray is studying film. All right, one thing before we go to break, we are going to place our bets on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned earlier, we brought up the fact that I was watching Ultimate on TV the other day, and Jacob says, I will not stand for disc golf slander. If we had to rewind the tape, which we're not going to, there was no disc golf slander. I was simply saying, let's just give it a name.
Yeah.
The point was, Ultimate Frisbee is not called Frisbee football. That's even though when it was invented, that's what it was called. And they were like, no, it's Ultimate.
Mm-hmm.
That has a name. Pickleball is not tiny tennis. It's got a name. Disc golf, which bears zero resemblance to actual golf, other than how many times you have to throw this plate into a wire basket, that determines your score, simply needs a name. Go out and play it. Have fun. Be one with nature. That's fine.
Can I get a drop?
Yes. Are there penalties?
Yeah, can you open a window?
If I throw one of these plates into a creek, is it a lateral? Is it stroke and distance? What is it?
You know, it'd actually be, I'm going to wrap on this. I meant to mention this as well for halftime entertainment. Do you think a sport such as disc golf, named to be changed later?
It should be changed. That's it. Give it a name.
Do you think that would go great on ESPN 8 the Ocho day?
Yeah, why not?
On August 5th. That's right. ESPN's bringing it back on August 5th, though.
Why not
Friday.
Do it?
I don't know why they're not doing it. The 8th's a Monday. I don't know. Maybe, is there a preseason football game? I don't know. I don't know.
8th is a Monday, so they're doing it on a Friday.
Yep. So on 8-5. Anyway, 24 hours of programming. You know where it's actually going to be held? The Rock Hill Sports and Event Center in Manchester Meadows.
All of the events are going to be
in Rock Hill.
Wow.
Not at Tepper Sports Complex. Do you think one of the events...
Spikeball. Well, they'll play spikeball.
There's the AWA Wiffle Ball, World Axe Throwing League.
Oh, axe throwing's big.
Yeah. Pogapalooza Cup 2022. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, who isn't?
And then the USA Dodgeball All-Star Showcase.
Dodgeball.
And Slippery Stairs.
Oh, that's good. That's a good one, too.
Yep.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006. But it all started May 6, 1997, with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th anniversary wherever you get your podcast.
Let's place our bets, Dennis.
Place your bets. Place your bets. Here we are.
I bet you slice into the woods $100.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slide.
Death!
Okay, you can owe me.
I owe you this.
Baseball was very good to me, or as Chico Escuela said back in the day, baseball being very, very good to Chico Escuela. It's a bit from Saturday Night Live back in the 70s. I only have one baseball pick today. Dennis Cox, where do you go?
Going Euro 2022.
Nice.
The women. Give me England minus a goal and a half against Sweden, plus 295.
English?
Yes, them.
England minus a goal and a half.
We're both on it.
Very interesting. All right, I'm going to leave my Euro wager out. I'm going to go with an international friendly first.
Okay.
By the way, Barca and Juventus are playing a match in Texas. So this is Weston McKinney, who was a Texas kid, coming back with UV. So that's a match that is going, I think it's on FS2 tonight. I'm going to take that match to end in a draw at plus 310. Did you know that City and Bayern played an 80-minute game in Green Bay?
No.
I guess there was a lightning delay.
Okay.
So they only played 80 minutes.
Okay.
And... like, nobody realized that they were done after 80 minutes. They're like, why are we stopping? It only says 80 on the clock. Anyway, so, I'll say Barca and Juve with a draw at plus 310.
Well, I'm going to stick to the pitch. Champions League qualifying. Shamrock Rovers.
Oh, man. Good choice.
Take on Ludogorets Razgrad. Sure.
Yeah.
Draw plus 235.
Very good.
Both teams are plus money. So give me the draw, plus 235.
All right. I'm going to go to the Euro now. You have England minus a goal and a half?
I do.
All right. England-Sweden, regulation draw.
Okay.
Plus 215.
All right.
Plus two. Sweden, very good.
Yeah, England.
They're all good. The four teams that are left are all studs.
Yeah.
Sweden, England, France, and Germany.
If you were to pick either Germany or France,
well,
plus money.
About that
on
game,
regulation,
and
yeah.
that game's tomorrow. That match is tomorrow. Germany and France are complete opposites in mindset. Mm-hmm. Germany's really good. France is super talented, but can't just break through. Germany just wins, man. They just know how to win.
I'm actually going to go to that game for my final pick.
Oh, wow.
Regulation time draw plus 215.
France will have 70 great scoring chances and not score in that. I watched them who is it, against the Netherlands. They won 1-0. Only goal was scored on a penalty. And I'm telling you, France could have scored 6 goals in the match. All right, my final pick is a baseball game or a prop from a baseball game. Subway Series tonight, Citi Field in Queens. Matt Carpenter of the Yankees plus 425 to go deep.
All right.
That's my only pick. Left-handed bat from the Yankees to go yard at plus 425. I'm almost back to a plus 4,000. So I did a lot of damage. I lost a lot of cash, but units.
Units.
I'm almost back to 4,000.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.